And thank you again for joining us. I'm glad to have Mr. and Mrs. Woodard here to share in this with their son and daughter-in-law. So it's good to be here. We have one little thing to clear up, however, before we can really go on with commissioning. John, what do you feel about a bunny hug? John, in Saskatchewan, it's bunny hug. John, in Saskatchewan, it's Rough Riders. And John, in Saskatchewan, we do say toque. And so we trust that those will be things that will fall into place very soon. I'm just kidding. It is so good to have you guys here. It is good that you have a few differences because you were not blessed growing up in Saskatchewan. But that's okay. God has blessed you and brought you here. So this morning, I'm going to try and help Dan out a little bit. Last Sunday, he did have to confess to me by the end of the service that he was a little worried that the service was never going to end. And this Sunday, I will guarantee you that it will end. I don't have a time frame for you, however. And it won't be long, Dan. It'll be okay. This morning, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll read from verses 12 to 17. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. Beginning at verse 12 in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was former a blasphemer and a persecutor, and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father God, again, we just count it an absolute privilege to be come into your house and to dig into your word that you have given to us, to reveal to us who you are, for a deeper, intimate relationship with you. So, God, we thank you for this time as we go into your word. Teach us again from your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I've changed this verse a little bit, verse 12 specifically, to read this way. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened John. So he is not here, John isn't here on his own strength, on his own merit, but Christ Jesus, our Lord, has strengthened him because he considered John faithful, putting John into service. He'll be putting John into service as our youth pastor. And so it is God himself who is calling, who is putting him into place, and he strengthens him, and he considers him worthy of being put into service. So the proper response to God by his covenant people should be evidenced by a steadfast commitment to that covenant, which mirrors God's own faithfulness to that covenant. A proper response by God's covenant is faithfulness. That's how we as his children, that's how we as his covenant children should respond to his covenant. It is encouraged, of course, to all believers, and of course then specifically to lead church leaders, to pastors, and so on. God's covenant with his people requires faithfulness. Exodus 19 verse 5 says, "Now then, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the people." Upon our conversion, we entered into a covenant with God. God is a covenant-keeping God. And we have seen that throughout all of Scripture, that he is a covenant-keeping God. And you need to only look to Genesis 3:15 and then into to the opening chapters of Matthew and the opening chapters of Luke to see that he is a covenant-keeping God when in Genesis chapter 3:15, he promised us that deliverer. And then when we look to Luke, we see that deliverer. And then towards the end of the Gospels, in the end, he reveals as the Redeemer in all his fullness as he goes to the cross for his death, burial, and resurrection to save mankind from sin. He is a covenant-keeping God. Look at the rainbow. It is a covenant that he made with Noah and the people of that day, saying that it will never again will I flood the entire world. I'm making this covenant, and you only have to look at that to see and to recognize and realize that God is a covenant-keeping God. And in order that we receive all these covenant blessings, we walk in faithfulness. And of course, faithfulness is seen in steadfast commitment to God, and it's seen in our unwavering devotion. Micah 4 verse 5 says, though all the peoples walk, each in the name of his God, as for us, we walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Forever and ever. Not flailing in the wind, so to speak. Not flopping around, not flipping about, tossed in the wind when things don't necessarily go smoothly as we would like them. But unwavering in the faith, because we have a trusting faith in God Almighty, because he has shown himself to be a trustworthy God. He is a covenant-keeping God. Therefore, we can put our entire faith, we can rest in him. Our faith can be unwavering. We need to be committed in unwavering devotion when things get tough. Don't throw in the towel. There will be difficult days, and I shared with John on Friday some of the challenges that I had as a youth pastor in another church. But all the time in those challenges, in those difficulties, not once did I ever think that it was time to quit. And it was early on in my time there, within the first couple of months, some significant things happened. But in all of that time, I realized and recognized that God had placed me here for a purpose, and I was entirely at peace. Would it have been the easiest thing to bail out? Absolutely. Absolutely. But man, my faith is in a faithful God. Unwavering faith. Unwavering in our faith to a covenant-keeping God. Faithfulness is seen as steadfast commitment to God in obedience. There's some scripture there, and just for the sake of time, we won't go through all of them, but obedience. If you sit down with John and Deanne and you hear their story, it's an amazing story of obedience to how they got to Ozer Mission Chapel. It wasn't jumping up and down at an opportunity to yes, yes, let's go to Osler. It wasn't on their radar necessarily, so to speak, but it was out of obedience, an act of obedience to God, that they responded. And when people called, when God called people like Moses, it wasn't necessarily his dream job or his ideal situation, because if you recall the story, he wasn't necessarily good at speaking. This wasn't his dream job. But the point is that God was going with him. In fact, if you read the account in the scriptures, you will realize and recognize God says, I will put the words on your mouth, on your lips. You will be able to speak because I will tell you exactly what you are to speak. God is glorified in our weakness. Continue to walk in obedience to God as he directs you in and through his word, and as you spend time in prayer with him. Faithfulness is seen as a steadfast commitment to God in our obedience to him. And this applies to not only to John this morning, this applies to each and every one of us. What is God asking, or has he been asking of you today? Is he asking you to walk in obedience and be baptized? We have baptism coming up in a little while. There was a person that came. We were having a meeting this week, and there's a person came into my office and said, I want to be baptized. Why did they want to be baptized? Because it was an act of obedience to God's call on their life. Was it difficult? Was it a challenge? Yeah, absolutely. But because of the desire to follow God in obedience, they were willing to take that step, even as scary as it might seem. So is he asking you to take that step of obedience today? Is he asking you to be faithful and volunteer during DVBS week this year? Maybe that's what he's calling you to. Or maybe to be a youth sponsor, and so we know the names have gone out in the mailboxes, and so you'll have that name. And before you immediately say no, maybe God isn't calling you to that. But take prayerful consideration. Maybe it's to teach Connect. Maybe it's to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with a good worker, with a co-worker, wherever you are. Maybe it's to reach out to that neighbor and share with that neighbor that you've been scared to do. I believe that God calls us to do things in our lives, and I know it because I get it, because I've had that feeling, that conviction that God is nudging me, he's pursuing me to say, you need to do this. And man, I can tell you more often than not, I choose not to walk in obedience or disobedience. It's unbelievable. When God nudges us, when he talks to us, when he speaks to us through his word, are we obedient to his word, to his teaching, to who he is? This past week, someone absolutely blessed the socks off me. And it was because of their act of obedience to what God had laid upon their heart. It wasn't the fact that this person was just simply being generous, but they felt that God was calling them to be able to do something that would bless my socks off. In turn, it would bless them as well because of their obedience to following God as he prompted them through the Holy Spirit. Now, don't miss out on the opportunity that God wants to bless us so richly. Don't miss out on that opportunity for God's blessing because we're scared to be obedient. Because what it is saying, what it is really essentially saying, if we're scared when he's calling to us to do something and we're afraid to walk in obedience, really what we're saying is, God, you are not big enough to walk through that. My fear is taking hold of me and I'm going to worship my fear and not walk in obedience. God, you aren't big enough. And yet in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for God is working in you, in me, giving us, the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The scripture clearly says it. And what we say, what we're saying, when we aren't willing to walk in obedience because we have fears, this isn't what I was thinking for my life. I had a different plan. I don't want to. What we're saying is, God, you aren't big enough to carry me through those. I'm not willing to be obedient. I don't think your word is enough of an authority for me to have to walk in obedience. That's a bold statement that we're making to God Almighty. Faithfulness is seen as a steadfast commitment to God in service. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. Fear who? Where is the fear? Fear only the Lord your God. Not fear mankind. Not fear what mankind will think of me when I make mistakes. Man, last Sunday, if I feared mankind, what happened last Sunday, I wouldn't be here today because there's some things that happened that weren't a lot of fun, but whatever. You know what? God is good. He is faithful. But don't let fear ruin you, because only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Wow, that's a powerful verse. What he has done for you. It is God that equips us. It is God that empowers us. It is God that calls us into service. And when we serve, when we respond, we're responding out of what he has done for us, because he has done this incredible thing. He has given me this incredible, amazing gift of salvation. And it's my response to him, not because I want to be saved, not because I want to be better, And him see me as better because he already sees me as perfect as a child of God. And so it's out of that response that I want to serve him. Not out of obligation, not out of compulsion, but of joy, absolute joy and absolute gratitude for what he has done for us. Faithfulness is seen as a steadfast commitment to God in prayer. And man, that's going to be huge in your life, John. That's huge in our lives as believers to be steadfast in our prayer life. Man, you want wisdom, you want understanding, you want to be able to teach the word, preach the word, understand the word. We need to be praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Pray through everything. When you're going through hardship, pray, pray, pray. Faithfulness to God is expressed in giving to him for the benefit of others. We serve not that we're going to gain something, not that we need something to out of this, but yeah, I'm going to serve because yeah, I'm going to get this, that, and the other thing, or people are going to look at me and say, wow. No, that's not the reason we serve. That's not the purpose we serve. We serve for the benefit of others, for the benefit of blessing others, the benefit of showing, helping them to see and understand the goodness of God through our lives and then through his word. Always his word is the absolute authority in all of this. Faithfulness is especially important to leaders. Be a man of integrity. Be people of integrity. Be sound, be of sound teaching. Be trustworthy. That's what the word is calling us to do. Encouragements to faithfulness, the call to faithfulness. Therefore, my brother, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Again, there's that word steadfast. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. This work that we do, it is not in vain, but it is for God's glory, his reward, his honor, his glory. And God rewards faithfulness. He gives back. He blesses so richly. God rewards those who stand firm. God rewards those who serve others. God protects those who serve others. Be faithful in your service. As you walk in obedience to God's call on your life. And then to our youth. This is a challenge to you, our youth, and to the youth parents. Youth, you are accountable to John and Deanna. Isn't that interesting? You are accountable to John and Deanna for your actions, for your behavior. Their desire is to walk with you in life and to prepare you and equip you for all of life through the Word of God, giving you a good understanding so that when life situations come along, you have a good and proper understanding of what's going on in your life. John and Deanna are holding you accountable to those things. You are accountable to John. You are accountable to attend youth regularly. It benefits a few things. It is for the benefit of your own spiritual well-being to attend youth regularly, even though things might come up that seem more interesting at times than what, or you simply don't feel like going to youth. But I would encourage you, it is an encouragement to John and Deanna when you are regular, when you're not just, you attend once in a while when there's nothing else to do. Attend youth on a regular basis for your own spiritual growth and for their encouragement and to help them to be able to hold you in account. So youth, that is a challenge to you. Parents, that's a challenge to you. I know there's so many things going on in our world. I know things are busy, but man, the benefit of being connected in a church family, in a youth group setting, is huge, is absolutely huge. Be committed to your pastor. John and Deanna, why don't you make your way up front? John and Deanna, you have been through an incredible process to get here. We first talked to you, I think it was, man, was it November? We had a phone interview, a couple hours long, great interview. when we, Bill and I were interviewing him together on the phone, when we hung up, we were excited already. It was a really great interview. You had a grueling doctrinal interview, and like there's no other way to put it. It was tough. And you did so amazingly well. Unbelievable. I was so impressed. And I think us as a leadership team were absolutely impressed how they conducted themselves in that doctrinal interview. You spent time with us as a ministerial team in the interview process. We're meeting together. You had the opportunity to share with the congregation a bit of your story, and that was positive. And it is through this time that we've spent together, getting to know you, and through much prayer, that we are confident that God has called you as a youth pastor at Ozer Mission Chapel. We are absolutely confident of that. And then, of course, there was that big process of packing up and moving to Saskatchewan. This has all been part of that process. And so today, we're going to commission you as our youth pastor here at Ozer Mission Chapel. The leadership team is confident that you are a good fit. Your passion for youth ministry is absolutely evident. And very early on in this past week, I see that him and I are very similar. Simple. We're both very simple. Apparently I am, him not so much. We're both very similar. And so we've both each locked ourselves out of the office one day this week. And so we're very similar. So that's good news. The congregation has also had an opportunity to express their support for you in this specific role of youth ministry through an overwhelming vote of affirmation for you guys. And so we're asking you now to make a public affirmation, a public commitment before God and this church family for answering the following questions. So the first couple are for you, John. John, do you firmly believe in your heart, and are you confident that God has called you to this specific ministry?
Yes.
Have you considered your personal walk with God and the responsibilities of this ministry in light of God's word? Do you pledge to continue to engage in youth ministry with sincerity and integrity, setting an example in all of life? And do you promise before God and this congregation that by God's enabling grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will seek to faithfully discharge the duties of this call, seeking to build up the Church of Jesus Christ at Ulster Mission Chapel in the youth ministry to the glory of God?
Yes.
And Deanna, do you pledge to support John in this ministry by the enabling grace of God, committing yourself to sharing with him in the responsibility, sacrifices, and joys? Pat and Pastor Vern and Christiana, can you make your way and we'll just pray for this couple? Let's pray.
God, thank you so much for being faithful, proving yourself faithful. God, we know you provide in all circumstances. Thank you for this process that you've taken the church through in finding a new youth pastor. God, we just want to pray a special blessing on John, that you would use him in a special and a powerful way. We thank you so much for his passion and desire for serving you and serving youth. God, that you would direct that passion, that you would, by your strength, not by John's strength, carry out the duties of leading our youth. And God, that you would empower him. And when things get tough, that he would draw strength, that John would draw strength from you, the source of our strength. For you are a strong tower, you're our refuge, you're the one constant thing in our lives, and we can always run to you. God, we just thank you so much for the obedience through John's testimony. Thank you for calling him here to Ulster Mission Chapel. We once again just pray a special blessing on him and the youth ministry right now. We pray in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we lift up Deanna before you, and we thank you for her willingness to walk in obedience and to follow her husband in this ministry, to go where he goes and serve you where he serves. And we thank you too for giving her a passion and a heart to see youth walk in a confident and passionate relationship with you. And we pray that you would bless her ministry to the youth. We pray that you would grant her favor and that you would help her to develop genuine and sincere friendships with the girls in the youth group, and that she would be able to strengthen and encourage them in their walk with you. Father, we pray that you would give her patience with John when ministry takes up more of his time than she would wish, and that you would help her to help him prioritize his time as well to make sure that their marriage stays healthy. We pray that you would strengthen their marriage through this ministry as they serve together. And we pray also that you would grant her friendships as she's in a new place with new people. We pray that you would send people into her lives that would be able to strengthen her, encourage her, and bless her within this church so that she can truly feel like this is her new church family. We look forward to how you will use her and you will bless our congregation through her. And we pray that you would help us to be a blessing to her as well.
Father God, we just consider this an absolute privilege that you have called John and Deanna. You have placed it upon their heart to serve in youth ministry, and that you have brought these two together, Ozer Mission Chapel and John and Deanna. And so, Father, I thank you for blessing that. I thank you for how we have seen you in all of this, how we have seen you working. And so, God, we thank you for that. And, Father, now we pray for the ministry of the youth here at Ozer Mission Chapel. God, that you would continue to grow this ministry, that our youth's lives would continue to have a solid foundation based on the truth that they teach through Bible studies, but also as they interact in their personal lives as well, that it would be a consistent life. I pray that they would continue to be a man of and woman of integrity, and they would continue to live that out as we see them working in the community, as walking in the community, and just living life, doing life in the community. And so, God, we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that you empower us. You call us, you equip us, you empower us. And so, God, we thank you for that. And we know that you have equipped John and Deanna for this ministry. And God, I pray that they would be able to walk in the confidence of you, not in of self or of themselves, but God, who you are, who they are in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we commit them to this ministry, and Father, we thank you again that you have called them, and we know that you will honor and glorify them in all that they do, and Lord, that you will be blessed, ultimately, that you will be blessed and honored and glorified in all of this. And so, Father God, this morning we commit them to the role of youth pastor in our church. Father, we thank you for that and pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
I'm sticking here for now, okay?
You bet. John, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and on behalf of Osler Mission Chapel, I now commission you to the office of youth pastor and commit you to the responsibilities of youth ministries, a ministry for the spiritual and emotional health and wholeness of our youth, seeking to lead them into an intimate experience of worship and daily walk with God, and all to the glory of God. Pastor John, we welcome you here. Deanna, we're so blessed to have you. And dear church family, it is my absolute privilege to present to you Pastor John and Deanna Woodard, our youth pastor couple. Thank you. Thank you. Now you can sit. John and Deanna, you can actually make your way to the back and take time to say hi. Welcome them to our church family if you haven't already done so, and just absolutely pray for this couple, as continue to pray for this couple as they make their home in Osler, as they interact with us as a congregation, and just continue to make them feel welcome, because I know you have. And so I am truly blessed to see how God is using you to richly bless them. Let's just pray and close the service this morning. Father God, man, what a privilege. Privilege to be be in your house. What a privilege to worship you. What a privilege to honor you. What a privilege to serve you. Father, this morning we thank you so much for this whole journey that we as a church have been on, and John and Deanna have been on as they as we were seeking a youth pastor couple. And Father, we have seen your hand in each and every step of the way, as have they. And so, Father, this is the confidence, this is the joy which we have because we have seen you in all of this. And so, Lord, you God, you get all the glory. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, we pray that John and Deanna would just settle in a good way. It would be positive for them. I pray that we would, as a church, would be patient as they settle into so many new things and so many challenges. And so, God, we want to support them in all of this. We want to walk beside them. We want to uphold them. We want to walk with them and make sure that they're not on their own. And we know that you are with them, but we as a congregation, we want to walk with them as well. Father, we thank you for this, and we look forward to what you're going to do in our youth ministry. So we thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Lord, bless you this week, and make sure that you, when you hear God calling you, you walk in obedience to him. Lord, bless you this week.